welcome back to a bonus episode of Kit and Krista podcast, where we're going to tell an extra special story time that we wanted to get in before the Game Awards.
Yeah, this is a bonus story time about something that happened 10 years ago, and it is kind of, you know, time sensitive.
It is.
It's related to the Game Awards. It's related to Jeff Keighley, our friend. So we had to tell it now in this little bonus episode that we're doing here. But this is about VGX, which, you know, I don't know how many people remember this, know this, watched it in the moment.
Yeah.
But this was kind of the one-year bridge event between the Spike TV Video Game Awards and Jeff Keighley's The Game Awards.
Right, right.
And it had a lot of differences from the traditions of the Spike TV Video Game Awards.
Right.
You know, those had been running for many times. Those were on broadcast TV.
That's right.
On Spike TV, which is a part of Viacom, this huge media company.
Yeah.
With Jeff being very closely involved in putting those together from a production standpoint. They would have celebrities, hosted by celebrities, celebrity appearances, big musical guests. It was this really, like, over-the-top presentation, which was positioned as this celebration of games for gamers, but it always felt like it was for just a few layers beyond that.
Right. It got like Hollywood it.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how what you call that, but it's like it got to a point where, was it really for the video game audience, or did it become like this big sort of Hollywood kind of celebrity thing that video gamers don't actually care about?
Yeah, so I think the feeling was like they were trying, you know, people had a cynical view of what Viacom was trying to do of like, we're going to reach out to like the Maxim magazine crowd who, you know, have kind of maybe a bit of a broader interest, but we're going to draw them in by making this an extremely mainstream show. So those award shows always had a very iffy reputation, but I think a lot due to, you know, Jeff's relationships in the industry, they did pull, you know, a lot of action from people within the industry. He got announcements, he got people there. We did a big thing with Mr. Miyamoto where he got this Lifetime Achievement Award that was a big deal for us. So within the industry, they did have still some air of legitimacy.
Yeah.
So
then that ended.
Right, so we get to 2013, and, you know, I think all of us at Nintendo were like, well, it's going to be another year of the Spike TV Video Game Awards, and that'll be cool. But we started to hear, like, no, we're going to do something different this year. Viacom and Spike are still going to be leading this, but it's going to have a completely different format. First and foremost, it is going to be streamed only.
No, this is the first time.
No broadcast TV element.
Yeah.
Which today you would say, oh, of course.
No problem. Yeah.
Who even watches broadcast TV?
But back in 2013, it was like a huge problem.
It was, the signal that they were sending back then was, this doesn't matter.
Right. This is not important anymore and to be on broadcast.
Right. And maybe we're kind of, this is our one foot out the door step of like, we're not really going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
We kind of want out of this whole deal. And this was the last thing that they did, so I think that kind of thinking was accurate. But there was some interesting things they were doing. Like, this was where Jeff really started to emphasize, like, hey, watch it on your PlayStation or watch it on Steam. Like, he was really angling for a lot of those relationships to try to broaden the audience of watching it on the device, which was something you couldn't really do before. And there had just been, you know, these next generation hardware launches, so that was very fresh in everybody's mind. Couldn't stream it on a Wii U, though.
No.
Wasn't possible. Was not possible.
Whoops.
Right. And, it, you know, once we get into the event itself, like, we would definitely recognize, like, this is an extremely stripped down production based on the over-the-top excess of the Spike TV.
Right.
Video Game Awards. And this was news to us. You know, we pondered what this might mean. But again, we had a great relationship with Jeff. And we knew that we still wanted to support this show somehow. We knew that he would, you know, find a way to make it noteworthy and newsworthy. And we had supported, like I said, the Spike TV Video Game Awards for years and years and years. So this was not like a new way of thinking for us. So we started to think about, you know, what is the reveal for his, you know, the world exclusive.
Right.
Like, what could we offer? You know, this was the height of the Wii U doldrums, though.
That's true. Yeah.
So
we did have some games starting to come to Wii U that were like pretty okay, though.
Yeah.
Like there were we had announced some stuff for Wii U.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Starting to be okay, but it was definitely a little dicey.
We had also at this point started to do Nintendo Direct, which meant we had more ways than ever to share news. So there was a bit more competition for where does news go?
Yeah, does if it go we have into news. Direct, or do we give it to something like this for Jeff, right?
So frankly, this was hard for us to even find something.
Right.
But we finally did settle on this idea of revealing Cranky Kong as a playable character in Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which was going to be coming out the following February. This event happened in December of 2013. So we're getting into the home stretch of this game, and we're thinking this can be a really cool surprise.
Right.
And a nice bit of, you know, fan service for Donkey Kong fans to be this, you know, exciting thing. And it's not going to be a new game announcement. You know, maybe it's not on the same level of some of the things that we'd revealed before, but this will still be cool. And we can supplement this with some live gameplay, really show off the character and build it into this extended thing. That was something that Jeff was looking for with this was, you know, let's not just have a trailer, like let's show the game off in sort of a longer setting, or let's have a developer there and have a conversation. Mm-hmm. The show ended up being over 3 hours long, extremely
Jeff
long.
Jeff loves the long shows though, you know.
He does. So we settled on that. You know, we pitched to Jeff. You know, he was into it. He thought it was cool. So it was like, all right, well, we're all set on that. So we start to work on the reveal. You know, we do have some exciting things going on with this. You know, we had planned for a couple people from Retro Studios to come. We were going to have the game's creative director there to be on stage with Reggie.
Yeah.
We were going to get a couple other people from Retro to come and do the gameplay. So it's like we're getting the best possible gameplay from Retro themselves.
Right, right.
To show this off in this great way. So, you know, we're feeling pretty good about this as we get, you know, past Thanksgiving and into December. But then disaster strikes.
Tragic.
Because Cranky Kong leaks.
Of course it leaked out of...
Out of Europe. I believe it was Amazon Italy.
Oh, Italy.
Italia. And
not
I was...
Not super surprising, but not great.
Not great at all. You know, like I said, it was very close to the game's release date. So that's when things like box art start to get out there. I think that's actually what it was in this case. It was like they had posted the front and back box art, which showed very clearly there's Cranky Kong right there.
Right.
So this was not good. I was not on the receiving end of the communications from Jeff, but from what I heard, he was big mad, like furious. And he is normally a pretty easygoing guy.
He is.
Very even-keeled, very reasonable, and that's something that we really appreciate about him. But in this case, he was livid about this. And I think that gave a window into his mindset of this show.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. It must have been because there was some pressure on his side to make this into something in this very transitional year. You know, it's a different thing now. It was such a hugely different format before. So he must have been feeling some kind of pressure.
Exactly. There was just something that was not right about the way that this show was coming together that was leading to him being cranky himself.
Ironically, also cranky.
So, you know, we did what we could. We tried to do damage control. At that point...
It's too late.
It's like, well... Let's try and make the most of this. We'll still have the demo. We'll still have these guys from Retro.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not going to be 100% news, but like, what do you want? You want us to not come?
The only other option is to not do it.
Right.
You were still going to have like Reggie and all those Retro developers there.
Yeah.
Like,
there was still
cool things.
There's
still like a lot of, at the time, what we perceived as like Nintendo support, which is always an important thing to Jeff.
Right.
So I think that. Yeah, I don't know how much you can smooth it over at this point. It's just what it is.
Exactly. So, You know, we continue planning. Like I said, you know, this, so that leak happened on December 2nd.
Oops.
And the event was on December 7th. Oops. So we were really like days to go.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do really.
From this to happen. So like, it is what it is. You know, we keep doing the work and the planning on our side. And again, we had a really big group going down to LA mm-hmm. to do this. So I went, a lot of other people from the PR team went. I was the PR lead for Donkey Kong Country.
That's right. Yeah.
And I had become kind of this PR person for retro overall.
Right.
Which was a role I really liked.
Yeah.
They were really they're
awesome
so great
to work
with.
Yeah.
Such nice people.
Yeah.
Really kind of curious about like the work that we did and wanted mm-hmm. to learn and really had just
and really
a genuine
had open mindset too.
Yeah, just a genuine curiosity about that, which was refreshing and nice. So like I said, like, you know, huge group, like 10 plus people going down.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we're gonna go make the most of this. The day before, when most of us were there, we get this other bit of news, which is about the host for the show, which up to that point, we had understood was just going to be Jeff.
Jeff, yeah.
And we have the tweet right here from Jeff himself. Excited to announce your host for VGX, Joel McHale, and I'll be joining him as co-host. See you guys tomorrow at VGXLive.com.
The day before, 11:43 a.m. on December 6th.
Right, the day before.
When this tweet was sent out.
Right.
Which is crazy.
So, a bit of context there. With Spike TV Video Game Awards, it was not unusual for the host to be announced a bit late. Like, mm-hmm. And like, Sam Jackson had been the host for many Spike TV Video Game Awards.
Yes, I remember that.
But in this case, you know, everybody thought like, oh, it's just going to be Jeff hosting this and Jeff will do a great job. For Joel McHale to arrive on the scene at the last second, again, it was like, what's happening here? This seems troubled.
It's a very like uneasy place, I think, because from like a video game brand perspective, like you never want a host that just doesn't understand the games industry
right.
or understand games. Like Joel McHale is like a comedian basically.
Right.
So like it's kind of worrying, like what's this guy gonna do? Is he gonna be like a loose cannon and make like all sorts of inappropriate jokes or whatever?
Wow, it's like you know what was gonna happen.
But that's the feeling I think when, you know, when this kind of stuff gets announced.
Yeah.
And it's like late in the game, so again, you don't have any like at 11:43
Yeah, here it is, 11:43 a.m. on December 6th. We have the tweet right in front of us.
Yeah, like at that point, like you don't have any other choice but to move forward with
right.
this. You're just like
so,
painted into this corner.
So
you know?
What we, you know, we were all like, what's going on here? We were discussing this. And, you know, what we thought was, you know, Viacom was feeling nervous about where things were headed with this. Obviously, it's a new format. You know, Jeff, to that point, had been a bit more behind the scenes with the Spike, so they were probably just like, we need something to put this a little bit over the top and, you know, to kind of rely back on their old ways of, like, a celebrity will get eyeballs.
Exactly.
So who can we get at the last second? And
right.
Joel McHale raised his hand and said, I'm available, I guess.
Was forced to do it.
And Joel McHale, you know, he does know a little bit about games.
Yeah.
Like, he is you know, not completely in the dark about it, but as we would find out, like, I think he envisioned himself as being there for other reasons. Or maybe he was told that. I don't know.
I don't know. It doesn't... Like, later on when you... And you guys should all go watch. This is available for you to watch as well.
Right.
Like, go watch some of these parts because it's just a bizarre pairing between Joel and Jeff. And just
right.
talking about video games overall in that setting was, like,
right.
really strange.
So, I mean, I don't think they ever had a chance to rehearse. I mean,
I don't think they
had ever met each other before
that's
until
what,
it was
that's
like...
That's what it looked like, at least.
Roll the cameras.
Yeah.
So, a very strange and slightly concerning thing for us as the Nintendo team to see. But again,
right.
it's like, well, we're going to be ready with our part.
And the rest of it is out your circle of control,
we
right?
have Reggie, who is the best public speaker I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
who
he's going to be able to
it's like,
roll with anything.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll
and,
roll with
and
anything.
And these retro guys have the game. They're going to play this great game, which looks great. We're not too worried. So, go to bed feeling good. Wake up the next morning. This was kind of an early... So, the event was on a Saturday, December 7th. Kind of early afternoon. I think it started at maybe like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, which is kind of a weird time for something like this. So I got up a little bit early because we had some things to do. Look out the window, it's pouring rain.
I'm like, Los Angeles, which is pretty rare.
I said, well, that's unusual, but it shouldn't be a big deal because, you know, as Nintendo would, we have car service taking us from the door to the hotel to the door of the venue. We were stopping for lunch along the way. It was like, you can just run right in. No big deal. It's like Reggie cannot be walking down the street.
No.
Like,
no.
We've seen that.
He will get mobbed.
He gets mobbed, and it's not a good scene. So it's like, well, it's raining, whatever. I get a phone call shortly after I wake up from someone who says, did you see it's raining? I said, yes, I'm aware that it's raining.
Your boss at the time.
And they said, well, that's not going to work. I need you to go pick up umbrellas for the group.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. We have about 12 to 15 people here. It's a Saturday morning in downtown Los Angeles. And
in 2013.
We need to go in about an hour. Yeah, no problem. I can get you 12 umbrellas.
Oh
sure,
gosh.
Why not? So this is one of those things where I just have to shake my head. I just start walking down the street. I'm like, well, there's a mall.
Yeah. Downtown LA at that time in 2013 is a little dicey.
Right. So I knew there was like a mall if I walked maybe like 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And we were in the hotel where we always stayed for E3. So
right.
I kind of knew a little bit of my surroundings.
Your bearings,
there.
Yeah.
But I checked and it's like, well, they don't open actually because it's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday,
they don't
yeah.
open until a little bit later. They're not open. So it's like, I really need to figure something out here. So I walk in the other, I find that there's like a convenience store.
Okay,
somewhere.
That's a good idea.
And I come up to that and I go in there and they had maybe like an umbrella.
One.
Yes. And I was like, well, this is not gonna work. People are not gonna be happy.
If the only, if you just share.
Yeah, if you ask for, you know, a box full of umbrellas and I have one.
Right.
We can't do that. So I'm like, oh, I don't know about this. And I walk out and I see a guy on the street corner selling umbrellas.
Oh, wow.
Like happens. Like this guy just showed up out of nowhere. It's like, oh, it's raining. I'm here. And I'm kind of like looking at him out of the corner of my eye and I'm counting the umbrellas.
How many did he have?
2, 4, 6, 8. It's like he has enough. He has enough umbrellas. But he's doing good business on the side of the street. I notice, I'm not sure that this person speaks English.
Oh.
So this is going to be a great test for my high school level Spanish. So
do you have cash?
I always have cash. And this is one of the reasons why.
These umbrellas, you need an emergency umbrella.
These umbrellas were also fairly cheap because they were junk.
I was gonna say he might have I was wondering if he would upcharge
no,
because of the rain and
no,
people needed it.
He was
it,
a so very honest fellow. These umbrellas, like I said, they were junk and they cost about $4 a piece.
Oh, that's not bad.
And I was going to buy 12 of them.
Yeah.
So how much is that? Do some math for me right there. Oh no. It's
$48.
$48. I had that on me.
You did?
Of course.
You have $48 on you.
I did then.
Do you have $40 on you now?
I don't know. Don't shake me
down on
a podcast.
Open your wallet.
I put it down. I don't have
your wallet.
You see the moth fly out right on this podcast? Are you joking me? So I walk up to the guy, you know, put on my happiest face, and I say, yo necesito 12 paraguas, which means I need 12 umbrellas in Spanish.
Wow.
He said, he got it right away. He didn't have a bag. I kind of had to like, you know, juggle these things back to the hotel. But I got them.
Wow.
I got the 12 umbrellas.
This is the thing about these kinds of events when you go with a big contingent of Nintendo execs and developers is you never know what kind of weird stuff they're going to make you buy. In your case, 12 umbrellas.
Right.
Dulce
Paraguas.
Paraguas.
Yes.
Sorry to anyone that speaks Spanish for us, butchering Spanish.
It's like when you were at the Game Awards and Mr. Onuma said, I need you to make me a pocket square.
Yes. Or take me to the nearest Target so I can buy candy.
These ridiculous requests almost ended us. But
yeah, but you got the umbrellas.
I'm there. It's time to go. Everybody's meeting in the lobby. I hand an umbrella to everybody. Everybody looks a little confused of like, the rain's like letting up now. It's like I think we're gonna be okay.
Oh no!
The punchline to this is nobody ever opened one of those umbrellas.
Did they give it back to you?
No,
Okay, they took them.
I mean, I had one for myself, but they probably got left in the back of the bus or whatever.
Oh.
But all that work was absolutely for
nothing.
People like
yeah.
It's not even raining that hard. What's the big deal? Thanks.
Is your boss freaked out? He is prone to freaking out about weird stuff. Prone to be deep cleansing breath.
We all have dozens of stories like this.
Prone to have like a fixation on something.
Yes, a fixation is a
little
good
bit. Strange, and that morning's fixation was about getting the umbrellas. I don't know why.
That's a good way to put it.
Anyways.
Okay, so we're in the bus. Like I said, it's kind of like still morning at this point. We're going to go eat before we go to the thing.
Good.
We're off at some nice restaurant, and we're sitting with Reggie, and we're talking about him, you know, getting ready. And he says, everybody come around. I want to show you something.
That's kind of creepy and weird.
No. Okay, yeah, what is it, Reggie? He's like, I want to show you the pin that I'm going to be wearing today on VGX.
The pin becomes a real contentious thing.
Speaking of other obsessions.
Yeah, but this becomes like a thing for like 10 plus years. But I guess maybe...
Well, it still is. I mean, Reggie has a Reggie pin that somebody made
him. I
know,
but I'm saying that like this becomes like this thing that just becomes, you know, it becomes like urban legend almost. Anyways,
he
has a pin.
So he says, let me show you this pin. And he opens up this box and it's this 8-bit retro Samus pin.
Yes.
And we're all just like,
ugh.
We have Retro Studios here. We're here to talk about Donkey Kong. It's clear Reggie has come with intentions to troll.
Right. He wants to troll.
And... You know, he obviously knows what happened with this. He obviously has been informed that Jeff is grumpy.
Yeah.
And I think his point of view of this was...
I don't care.
We can troll back. We can, you know...
Clap back.
We can have a little... we can have a bit of levity about this and see how it goes.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was a lot of like, oh, but he's going to think this or he's going to do this. What's going to happen?
He's going to ask you about
it. And his, you know, his reaction was like, I don't give a good you-know-what about Jeff's going to say or do about it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to wear the pin. I don't care.
Let it fly and see what happens. So he came ready to rumble, which as we'll
good
see,
attitude.
Was the right attitude to have. This is where it's great to yes. Thank God we have Reggie here.
Reggie is, he won't back down.
He will handle himself.
Handle
he will not back down.
Yeah.
He will spar with Jeff.
Yeah, they'll go 2 for 2.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, these poor Retro Studios guys, like, keep them out of the crossfire.
Well, that person, again, we'll get to it, but that poor person.
So it's like, okay, this is already going off the rails and we haven't started, whatever. We get to the venue, all of us, and it's, you know, it's immediately clear. Like, this is kind of on the cheap. Like, this is kind of like a warehouse that's in downtown LA. It's full of, like, bric-a-brac. It kind of looks like an old, like, antique shop.
It does. Like, in the... When you see the video of it, it has, like, all these, like, random, like, paintings on the wall. Like, it definitely doesn't look high-end.
It's very small. Like, the people who are not on camera, they're like, you just stand in the corner. So we did. There's no audience there at all.
Right,
It's just...
Film crew.
The people there.
Yeah.
It could have helped, you know, maybe help some of these jokes land a little bit better.
Yeah, there was just like pin drop silence. Right. Crickets with this film crew.
Some sort of a laugh track or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you need some sort of like you need some energy in some of these things, right?
So the Nintendo segment was pretty early in this 3-hour event.
Thank goodness.
So we get there and you know, Reggie and the retro guys are pretty much getting ready right away. And I actually go help the retro guys get the game set up in the back.
Right.
Because that's always a complicated
it's
and scary
complicated.
Thing.
It's very complicated.
It's like, well, do you have the hookups or what? I was like, oh, we can't get a picture out of this. What do we need to do?
Exactly.
Right. That
the
was
tech
always,
is always the
that was always
scary.
A hairy detail. But we get it all set up and I go back into the little, you know, watching room with everybody else. And the show starts, and there is just immediate tension between Jeff and Joel McHale. Like, Joel McHale is making off-prompter jokes, off-color jokes.
Really?
Like, really dicey stuff.
Really dicey
right.
stuff.
And, like, the look...
Not Nintendo-friendly.
The look on Jeff's face is, like, he's not even trying to hide it. It's like...
He was already grumpy, I think, from overall just having to deal with this thing. And then he was just, like, livid from having to deal with Joel.
Right. So he had three hours of that ahead of him. But, like you said, like, this is online. This is on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, they have just, like, the opening of this show also. Like,
yeah.
That's worth... Everybody should go watch that.
Because
it's, like, I cannot believe what I am watching transpire right here.
And the thing with it is that, like, we are so used to Jeff being, like, and he tried to, as I think as much as possible, like, as, like, a very...
usually very smooth.
Calm, smooth host.
Right.
And you can't, like, even when crazy stuff happened at the TGAs, like, when he got stormed on stage by random people.
Right, right, right.
Legit scary stuff. Right. Like, he never lets that facade fall.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But this is the only time I think I've seen his expression, like, truly... Yeah.
He was over it.
Truly just, like, he had no more patience for this.
He was over it.
I was really shocked, honestly, because I don't think about Jeff like that.
No.
You know? And
no.
He isn't like that. No. So I was like,
wow. Again, you wonder what happened
in
the moments and days leading up to this event to get him to that point, in addition to Joel McHale.
I think there was just
a lot of nonsense that he had to deal with and put up with.
Yeah.
From the corporate overlords to get to this point.
Right, so he was over
it. And like, we're in the back, we're like, oh, you can't believe this? Oh my God. It's like, oh God, Reggie's gonna go on in like 5 minutes.
Again, thank God for Reggie, because Reggie can handle anything, but also not great.
But there's like nothing we can do too.
Yeah.
Also, hilarious because Jeff Keighley's wearing like 5 jackets.
He is layered.
Which Joel McHale immediately points out. He's wearing like a leather jacket and like
a hoodie.
A jacket under that, a hoodie, and like some shirt, like button up shirt. It's great. We were in Los Angeles, it's not that cold.
I know. Again, Jeff also just looks so different too.
Like, who was in charge of the VGX wardrobe this day?
His, like, TGA suits are so beautifully tailored. Yeah. He looks so fantastic.
He's got it figured out now.
He's figured it out. But this was just, like, such a weird thing to see after we're used to, like, the Jeff of today, you know? Gosh, it's so bizarre.
The Nintendo segment's there. It's Jeff, Joel, Reggie, and this guy, Vince Jolly, who is the creative director for the game.
Yeah.
And immediately, Jeff starts jabbing about the leak.
Oops.
He's like, Reggie, are you a little bit cranky that something may have leaked? And he starts making hints of like, oh, fans online might not be happy that this is all you have for us today.
Right, right.
Which, again, is very uncharacteristic for him, who's, you know, trying to make these games, you know, trying to make it come off as cool and good.
Yeah.
And sort of, you know, help the medium.
And also he values his relationship with Nintendo.
Right,
and
but
Reggie.
In this case, again, I think he was just so over it. He's like, I don't care, I'm just going for it. And there's... So that's how this segment started, with him and Reggie having these jabs. And in the middle was poor Vince Jolly.
Who looks...
It was like one of those gifts of, like, life comes at you fast, because he was just like...
It was funny because, like, it was like Reggie, Vince, Joel, and Jeff. So Reggie and Jeff were, like, the furthest apart from each other, but they were the only two people talking.
Yeah.
Joel and Vince... Like, Joel was just, like, out of it. Like, he's like, I don't care about this. This is stupid. Like, I'm not here for this.
And then he starts making these, like, how are the Seahawks going to do, Reggie?
Yeah.
These offhand,
like,
what?
He didn't have anything to contribute.
Non-sequiturs,
I think, to the conversation.
Right.
And then Vince just was, like, silent.
He looked terrified.
With, like, deer in headlights.
He looked terrified.
Look.
He was also dressed like he was going to Sunday church or something, which makes it all the more funny. Wearing the red Donkey Kong tie.
I know. And, like, a full suit. Like,
very
corporate. Not 14 jackets like Jeff.
Yeah,
but, you know, it was very, like, professional.
Very funny.
I felt bad for him. He was definitely caught in the crossfire.
But they do, you know, we get the initial awkwardness out of the way. Everybody gets introduced. You know, Vince can introduce himself as well. And we finally get to the gameplay, thank goodness. Take a little break. And that's kind of like the most normal thing of this segment. You know, they show the game. The game looks good.
Yeah.
Tropical Freeze is excellent, excellent game.
Yes.
So it's like nice to finally have a chance to, you know, cut through this nonsense and just show that.
And Reggie does say stuff like, "We got more stuff. We got Smash coming for
Reggie."
Wii.
Reggie was trying.
Really trying.
He was trying real hard to sell the Wii U.
He did a good job.
Right.
He really had very little to work with. He did a really good job.
Yeah. Yeah. So that ends, and then there's just more trolling, like. Jeff's talking to Reggie. It's like, "Oh, Reggie, are you going to get in Smash Brothers? How many votes in the ballot is that going to take for you to get in Smash Brothers?"
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And then Joel McHale's like, "So are you going to kick Sony and Microsoft's butt?" Like, you know,
he didn't say butt.
We prepare for tough interviews as spokespeople at Nintendo,
right?
With somebody who puts on like the evil hat and asks you nonstop hard questions,
right?
Almost 99% of the time, it's never the reality.
But this was the
reality. This was the reality of that,
yeah.
of like a nightmare interview where you're just getting like needled with
and
questions.
And it was the worst thing because it wasn't even like an interview that was like written only, like print or something
right,
like
so
that.
Right, so it's live.
It's live.
Live streamed. to literally dozens of people. You
10 to 12.
Yes.
But you, if you say something, if you lose it, you know right. what I mean? Like, which Reggie would never. But if you did.
Probably like, almost did. Jeff sees the pin. He starts bugging him about the pin. When are we getting Metroid news? When are we getting this? Hey, Vince Jolly, how many teams are at Retro Studios right now?
Oh.
That could have been such a dangerous and scary moment for them. Like,
poor Vince.
Vince knew better than to touch that one, thank goodness.
He just laughed it off, but still.
The segment wraps by going through this awful segment of like, and we've got some Reggie memes from the internet.
Yeah.
Like, this is so like late night show.
This is so like 2013 though, when Reggie started to get like real internet famous for all of his little catchphrases and stuff.
And so they go through a couple of those, like, oh, my body's ready, stuff we already know. And,
yeah.
And then Jeff asks him, so like, what would Cranky Kong Reggie look like? And Reggie says, like, well, if I was Cranky Kong Reggie, I'd have that stick in my hand and I'd knock you over the head with it, Jeff. And that's how the segment ended.
They laugh it off, and then, yeah. But basically, Reggie wanted to beat Jeff with a big stick.
yeah. So they come back to the little waiting area that we're in, and everybody's just like, God.
Shell shocked.
Can't believe that happened. I think Reggie loved it though. I think like he really enjoys like that kind of thing. Verbal sparring.
Verbal sparring.
Right.
He loves that.
He loves that.
He loved it in just regular meetings too. He wants you to fight.
Challenge him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he liked having an opportunity to do that versus just like another boring interview.
Yeah. Right. And I think that he sees Jeff as like a worthy opponent to verbally spar with him.
Right.
So he truly did. He had fun with it.
Yeah. And, you know, to be clear, like, he and Jeff Keighley are very tight, very close.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, they're, like, really good.
Like, he is on,
friends.
You know, he's you know, still goes to the Game Awards every year, presents stuff. So it's not like there was
Jeff
actual...
Jeff did, like, a whole thing in the end of Reggie's book and everything, too.
Yeah.
So they're, like, really close.
It's not like there's any actual, like, bad blood. It was just, wrong time.
But
wrong
as,
side
like,
of the bed situation.
I think as the PR team, though, it's always just a little bit scary because you just never know, like... Like, whatever Reggie says, whatever it happens, it's going to become, like, some story, you know?
Right. So especially especially with Vince from Retro there, too, who was there to do a very specific job, but was caught in the crossfire.
Exactly. And he doesn't have, like, that kind of experience doing that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, he's a developer, you know?
Right.
So
the event continues for 3 more hours.
Did you guys stay for 3 hours?
Yeah, we stayed and watched the event.
Oh, my God.
The event... And kind of the legacy of that event as far as announcements was that was where No Man's Sky first got announced.
Okay.
And that was like kind of a mind-blowing announcement for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Famously, the launch of that game did not live up to the promise of what that initial announcement said.
Right.
And it took them years and years to, you know, get to that point and exceed that. But that was, I think, everybody's enduring memory of the show, besides it being a train wreck. It was like, oh, yeah, No Man's Sky got announced there, and that looked really cool. And that definitely had people talking. So the event's 3 hours long. It closes with this very strange outdoor concert of music from Grand Theft Auto V, which I'll figure, 10 years old.
This year.
We're coming full circle, maybe.
Full circle.
And, you know... We leave and the event ends. And I remember I was back at the hotel that night hanging out at there was a great hotel bar at that hotel where many a late E3 night was had
by
people from Nintendo. And we were hanging out and just chatting. And they were like, yeah, that was nuts. That was crazy stuff. Anyhow, you know, the game's, you know, coming out really soon. So for us at Retro, we're really starting to look ahead. And you know, the guys that were there, they're like, yeah, we're actually going to Japan really soon to kind of talk about some, you know, future concepts and opportunities.
Yeah.
So I don't know what those concepts and opportunities was. Like, Retro's shipped maybe like half a game since then, 10 years later.
Metroid Prime 4 was the future opportunity 10 years ago.
Metroid Prime remake and some work on, I guess, at that point, the Mario Kart 7 work had happened. So I don't know what those were. But
what were the future opportunities?
I don't know. That was kind of their mindset of like, yeah, we're wrapping this up. You know, we're going to start, you know, turning our focus to something else.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? What was it? I don't know. We'll never know. The show was hugely criticized and panned.
Yeah.
As it should have been. It was a mess. But it was this interesting bridge piece.
I was going to say, yeah.
Between the VGAs and Jeff Keighley's The Game Awards.
Right.
which did have these some forward-looking elements that were a little bit ahead of their time, you know,
being stream-only,
having it on the device, looking for ways, whether it's through an extended demo, or they did have a lot of developers, like, sit on a couch and, like, we're going to talk to you for 10 minutes.
Right.
Finding ways to let the game speak for themselves more than just explosions and celebrities. So there were some kernels of ideas that I think, you know, and at this point, you know, Jeff said, see you later to Viacom.
Right.
That as he started next year's Game Awards, I think he had some building blocks to work with.
I think so. And then this focus on, like, reveals and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that was always important to him. And I think letting that be more of, like, why you would tune in versus it being random celebrity hosts.
Yeah.
Like, that becomes sort of the foundation of the Game Awards later on. And, of course, once he got, like, full control of that, he was able to do what he wanted and make that vision not muddled with some corporate Hollywood nonsense, which is great for him.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's like, what do they say? Like, this thing walked so this other thing could fly, right?
Absolutely.
So I think that's what it was.
Yeah, so here we are 10 years later. It was extremely strange to be a part of in the moment. And now 10 years later, I went back and watched pretty much the whole event leading up to this so I could get my memories straight. And in hindsight, it is even crazier and weirder than I remembered it being, which is a rare thing to have happen.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we have a chance to sit down and share these stories and think about it one more time.
It is very odd. I'm going to say it again. You guys should all just go and watch some of the pieces of this because you won't believe what you'll see. Because I definitely remember at the time it feeling weird. And now it's like, oh, wow, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
That's so nuts. Yeah, so that was the 10-year anniversary.
There you go,
of this insane one-year-only event. Who knows what this year's TGAs, the Game Awards, will bring. What crazy moments. There's always some crazy moment. But yeah, to see how, you know, this kind of award show type thing has evolved over time is really interesting.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, we hope that you enjoyed this little bonus Nintendo story time. We are getting ready for the TGAs.
Yeah.
So, more of that and more end of the year, game of the year stuff to come. But thanks for watching. We'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.